They said if they did employ me, they were going to strike. So I was given 2 weeks' pay. I was supposed to go into the operating room, by the way. I was given 2 weeks' pay and told I was not to come back. That's what happened to yours truly. Park City was the only hospital that would have employed me. So, you see, at that time, I was working at Yale, New Haven, you know, during the evening shift.
Yes.
And I had told them that I was going to be employed in Bridgeport, so I had to rescind that and ask if I could have my job back in New Haven. And it was an awful thing for me. I had a bike. I used to bike a ride over from 76 Trial to the train station. Leave my bike there. And then bike ride back about 2 o'clock in the morning from the station home. That was my little episode. So I've had it in my little towns of Bridgeport.
After the situation at Park City, then you became employed at Bridgeport Hospital?
After the situation, that was during the time, you see. That was during the episode.
I see.
Everything was going on, you see. I then took an exam, you know, for public health after the Park City. The exam came up. You know, I continued to work at Yale, New Haven.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened to me.
How long did you work at Yale, New Haven?
Well, around 3 or 4 years in between there, I should think I'd say 45 to 47, I guess. Came back in 44, you know, in between there, and worked there. Oh, I took the exam in 49. It must have been, let's see, I took the exam and passed it and went in 49 for public health. It's during that episode.
And then where did you work then, after passing the exam in 49?
For the city, public health, here in the Bridgeport.
Where were you located?
From James Street on to Main, and from north to Main. Is it north? How's that go? North to Washington, I think. You know, in that area.
Were you located in the
public
health building there on the corner?
Yeah.
Of Washington and Madison.
Madison.
That building. Now, how long did you work there?
7 years.
And how were your experiences there in terms of your relationship with other workers, the black-white relationship?
All right, at that time.
Were there many blacks employed there?
There was two. Marge Hamilton and I took the exam at the same time. There was one black came from New Mexico, Mrs. White, Hazel White, and she left and went to New Mexico, you see. And Marge continued, and then she left. I think she went into something. And then the exam came up for the education department, so I took it.
When did you take that?
57. I've been there ever since.
So you worked in public health approximately from 49 to 57, about seven and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you start working for the Board of Education?
Where?
When you left.
Central. I'm still there.
And Central was located? Where was Central located at that time?
Lion Terrace. Yeah, Lion Terrace, dear old Lion Terrace.
But what were some of your experiences there, when you, especially when you started working there as a nurse?
Well, you see, I replaced a nurse.
Anything outstanding?
No, nothing much. You see, they were surprised that a black nurse was there, but they had to take me. So nothing, you know, and then changes were being, and of course I was a member of the school nurses of Connecticut, and I did then become active in the organization of school nurses, and I became the vice president, and I didn't know when I became the vice president that that made me become the president the next time elections came up. So then I became the president when the president moved and went to Puerto Rico. And that was quite active until last year when I resigned.
You were in there for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
How were working conditions for you at Central?
Very busy. But it has to be busy with an enrollment of usually over 1,500 students. You know, and it's a city school. I'm the only nurse, and of course they don't. Most of the teachers don't quite understand me. They don't understand health. Some of them, most of them, don't understand health problems. But by the time you get through telling them and telling the students, you're dead tired. But you carry on. Now, but everybody treats you with respect.
When was it that you stopped using your bicycle as a means of transportation?
Oh, when I became, when I passed the exam for to become a school nurse for the Board of Education, that's when I stopped.
Do you have any thoughts on the 60s, Gladys, the Revolution era, Martin Luther King, Jackson, Andrew Young?
The thoughts I have, I'm thankful that the transition is going through and that we have gotten somewhere. Now I hope that we can hold it, you know, hold the various changes that have come along. I hope, you know, I heard over the radio just now, there seemed to be a sort of a reverse type of I guess you can call it affirmative action or reverse carrying on with the whites. They are so jealous of the part that we are playing. They're so jealous until it isn't even funny. They don't even want a Martin Luther King Day. I heard it on the radio tonight. It was just awful. What else?
It was finally approved.
Yes. Yes. But you see, it's the use of the day now. And the foolishness that is being exemplified when we all along, us blacks, we've been carrying on. you know, even whatever they have had in their life, we've nicely, very nicely just went along with, you know, because we said, we all right, it's George Washington Day. We went along with it and said nothing. Now, just because it's Martin Luther King's Day, they don't want it.
Well, what do you think we need to do as blacks?
Stick together. Stick more together.
How?
Talk it out. Act it out. And do what we're supposed to do. And you know, Sunday I was so elated. I went to Hartford and I saw Mayor Washington and the dignitaries there, and honest to goodness, it was just wonderful.
Makes you feel good.
Oh, yes. It really does. Because we can do it if we just get together and do it.
Do you have any suggestions as to how we could get together?
I don't know. I'm afraid to even say.
How do you recall how you first felt when demonstrations started in the 60s?
I was afraid. Wasn't that awful? I said, oh, go ahead though, but I was so afraid. Because I said, oh, we never did that, come on. But I said, go ahead though. I'm awful afraid for you, but go ahead. It was quite an experience. And I'm so glad that God has given me life to see everything. You know, all of these things that have happened.
Has your attitude changed much as a result of the 60s?
You know, yes, because I didn't realize, I really didn't realize that I was black. I really didn't. Until now. Now I really feel that I've got to look in the mirror and see that I am black. But I just went on around people. I didn't realize that I was black, but now I must realize it. That's my, that's the change.
That's the contribution of the 60s.
Isn't
that awareness,
all?
Black awareness. Did you think many blacks perhaps felt the same as you did? You know, in terms of black awareness?
I think so, but I didn't, I was slow at even thinking. I think they knew it, but I think I was slow. I didn't think that the whites really were as racist as they are. I really didn't. Not until the last five years, I felt it more than ever.
This is in your own experiences. Let's see.
Even when I was fighting, when I said, what in the world is wrong here? Here I've come back to my own home and can't even get a job. It's right here in Bridgeport and all the way up. And I've been with these people all of my life. And I was ignorant to the fact that they hated me, but I didn't have sense enough to realize it until, well, not 5 years, maybe 3 years.
Let's see.
Now I realize that they can't help it. I used to put it on all the people over 50, I mean over 30.
Well, why is that? Why 30?
You see, most of the people that were under 30, they sort of gave you the opinion that they loved you, or that they wanted to make sure that there was equalization, you know, of opportunity. wherein the others came out and said what they wanted to say and did what they wanted to do, those who were over 30. But I realize now all of them, and they are saying they're white now. They really are, more than ever. So, here's hoping that they'll realize that we're all human beings, got to stop this foolishness.
Do you think things will change for the better, continue to change for the better? The race relationship?
I hope. And I pray. I think so. It seems that we're marrying and carrying on, you know? And maybe that's helping. Because the children seem to be a little bit different. Poor things, they don't know what it's all about until they're taught. So, maybe.
How would you compare the schools now, education in the school of our young children, to the days that you were in Bridgeport schools?
Compare?
As far as the classroom, the teachers are concerned, the kind of education that we're getting now and the kind of education that you got when you were in the elementary schools and at Hardin High School.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I don't know, because I'm so busy in the nurse's office now that I don't see the classroom as much as I would like to. But the homework, I don't see. Maybe they'll start giving homework. I don't understand how a kid can go to high school and not have any books, you know, to take home. I can't understand how you can go to school and not have books to take home.
How was this kind of thing, homework, when you were at Hardin?
I did at least one hour of homework for each subject that I had, at least. And I had a book going home every night. Weekends, during the vacation, I studied because I loved it. It was something I was learning. Some of the kids are like that, but I don't see those kids. I see these devils that come in there and bother me. You know, so I hope that they're just like the man who goes home with me. You know, he said, I sent 4 disciplinary slips today. He said the kids were in there throwing the balls. You know, they were doing nothing. It's a language teacher. How do they expect to learn this language that I'm supposed to be teaching when they're throwing spitballs all over the room? Last period.
See.
So, I don't know. So, maybe some of them, the magnet school, maybe will help some of them.
If you were to advise young blacks as to how they can improve their life, what kind of advice would you give them, Brandon?
How to improve their life? I'd say, go to school, do the right thing. It's so easy to do the right thing. So easy. It's so hard to do the wrong thing. It is. So, and you'll get your reward later. And I'll try to give them an example of things that or a people, maybe, an idol to follow. But you know, I don't know, seemingly most of our black kids don't seem to want to even bother. Maybe they do. Maybe they take advice, I don't know. But it's hard to even think that they do. But I see a lot of, you know, then when you go by the scholarship committee, there's a lot of blacks that are following through well. So maybe we, maybe I'm
scholarship committee
of the various organizations. So maybe they're doing all right.
With some financial help, this will help their lives.
Mm-hmm. So here's hoping. It's more blacks who are doing well more these days than there were. So I guess I hope and pray that they're going to do better.
Is there anything else that you would like to say, Gladys, that we have not covered or I have not asked you during this interview?
No, I just didn't. I don't know whether, no, I think I've...
It's been an interesting interview. Enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad, but life is something. I don't know of anything, really.
Gladys, would you comment on as to when you moved to Monroe from Bridgeport, and also compare the neighborhoods in Bridgeport with that of Monroe since you've been here?
Mm-hmm. Now, in 64, we moved, we moved from Trowell Street to Elmwood Avenue. Now, Elmwood Avenue was a very nice section of Bridgeport. From Elmwood Avenue, we moved to Monroe. All of the...
This was in 64.
In 64, yeah. The fear of burglary is the thing that's important nowadays all over the country. So, on Elmwood Avenue, we had a fear, but it wasn't as fearful as it would have been on Trowell Street, where we formerly lived. In Monroe, I do have a burglar alarm system here, but the part about it is I really don't think I need it because I'm on a dead-end street. The neighbors across the street are very conscious that I'm here. The dogs are very conscious that I'm here.
Your neighborhood, your neighbor's dogs.
The whole, yes. Yeah,
you don't have any.
I don't have any dogs. No.
All right.
I respect the dogs, but I don't have any dogs.
But they look out for you.
But they look out for me. So I think so far so good. Really. So... I really love this neighborhood so far, and I really am very, very happy. out here. I pull my shades down, I mind my own business, and any of the unusual noises, they're heard by somebody in this neighborhood. In the daytime, when I'm away, there's somebody home watching, because the man across the street and the lady across the street will come over, even though I'm looking for somebody, and come over and say, "Oh, she isn't home." And sometimes I am home.
I see.
So they're very, very kind.
Yes, that's good.
So that's all I have.
Yes, that's very interesting. Yes.